I am Elle Penelope, author of epic fantasy and paranormal romance, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Sunday, December 27th, 2020, and this is episode 100 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. This week's best thing is the 100th episode. It's truly a milestone, and that it happened in the last week of 2020 is also something. So I thought that I would do my yearly recap for 2020 and just a look back, because I think it's important to review and celebrate and also learn from the mistakes and the experiences, and hopefully go into 2021 fresh and new and having learned something so that we make different mistakes in the year to come. So in order to look back, I have a very terrible memory, which anyone who knows me knows about, but I have documentation. So one thing that's really been cool about learning how to research for my new book is looking at the documents. My personal documents are my calendar, my website calendar, and my podcast notes. So I looked at all of those things to try to get a snapshot of what was going on during every month of this year. And since I put everything on my calendar or it doesn't exist, I think it's a good way to go back and remember, oh yeah, I did that. Oh, I don't remember doing that. Oh, but now that I see that I did that, it's all coming back to me. So January of 2020, dealing with the fallout of the RWA implosion, which happened the day before Christmas in 2019. And all of January was sort of just going through that. And you can go back and listen to those episodes. Or, you know, I don't know if I'm even going to link to it, but RWA, Romance Writers of America, had a significant episode in its history during this period of time. And that was all people were talking about at the beginning of January. I was a guest of honor at the MarsCon conference in Williamsburg, Virginia, last January. There was also the Winter Institute for the Booksellers Conference, and there were a group of authors there. And so I got to meet a lot of booksellers, indie booksellers all across the country who were in Baltimore for that event. And that was actually really fun to talk to people who sell the thing that I am writing. And, you know, booksellers, I think, are interesting people, and they're so vital to what we do as authors. And yeah, that was the first time I had really gotten a chance to meet a bunch of them in one place. February was the KT Literary Retreat. So my agency does a retreat every year and a half or so. And we went to Austin, which is a very cool city. It was only the second time I've been to Austin. And we had our retreat. I also got a new tattoo. I got the castle tattoo. So it's a castle coming out of a book, which is on my right upper arm. The original one, it was to go along with my fairy girl tattoo. And so I decided to do a half sleeve of like fantasy imagery. And I've got some ideas for the rest of my arm that I want to do, but it's my inner arm, like my inner upper arm, I don't know what you call it, right below my underarm. And I know that's extremely painful. So I've been very scared of getting the rest of this half sleeve done. But one day, March, Hush of Storm and Sorrow was released. So that is the second novella in the Earthsinger Chronicles novellas series. And it is Ty and Ani's story, and I love it so much. And it came out. I was also struggling working on the fourth book, Requiem of Silence, in March. And then, of course, the pandemic got real and I was on deadline. So that was fun times. So March was when Maryland locked down along with many other places in the country. And it was the start of this experience that we have all been in all around the world. April, I had turned in Requiem of Silence. That was my first deadline. And I remember that I was not entirely happy with it. I was happy-ish with it. You know, I had gotten as far as I could get at that point in time. But finishing that series was kind of the theme of 2020. My birthday was in April. And I turned the exact age of the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything, according to Douglas Adams. So it was a big birthday for me, even though it's not a round number. And I believe I started releasing The Cupid Guild, which was a series of short stories that I had published in a magazine. And then I had the rights back and began self-publishing them. In May, with Balticon and Virtual Balticon, so I think that was my first big virtual conference. And they did a great job, in my opinion, of organizing everything and, you know, what does it mean to try to recreate that live experience of a con online, on Zoom, on Discord, or however people are doing it. So I did a bunch of events online I'm sure I had done some before, but that was kind of the start of a very busy summer of online events and constant Zooming. I also was back in physical therapy for my shoulder this time. So I had graduated from my wrists, but because my wrist had been hurt and I had had the brace on, it placed extra pressure on my shoulder, which I also entered rock climbing. And so I was trying to rehab myself and just be healthier. I started working with my personal trainer to exercise, doing wrist-free exercises for the first few months. But yeah, I think part of this year was also, you know, on lockdown, trying to figure out how to be and how to be in your body when you're home all the time. You can't, at that time, you couldn't go to the gyms, and I couldn't climb because the gym was closed. And also, I was not healthy. Because I had turned in Requiem, I had turned my eyes towards the next thing to write, and I was working on trying to finish unfinished manuscripts that I have, and struggling all the way through that. There was a 20K in 5 days challenge that I think I tried to do. My notes did not tell me whether I was successful or not. I know the podcast will tell me, but I did not have time to listen to all of the podcasts from this year. I started watching The Expanse, which truly changed my life in a wonderful way. I have not started, as of this recording, watching the fifth season that just came out. I'm waiting because I know they're coming out week by week, so I'm going to wait until I can binge a bunch of them. And I believe my first Galaxy's Edge column might possibly have come out that month too. June was the aftermath of the killing of George Floyd, and a lot of social unrest was happening, a lot of marches, a lot of online activism in the world. In my world, we did the cover reveal for Requiem of Silence, and thinking about how the effects of how the events of the world are reflected in my fiction personally, and a lot of authors are dealing with similar ideas. But yeah, finishing that series and then kind of just looking back at how the world is now versus when I started it. At this point, well, in 2020, 7 years ago, when this book comes out, it'll be 8 years, and very little has changed. I discovered my heroine for what would become my next novel, what I'm working on now, the 1920s fantasy heist. I don't know exactly how I discovered her. I started doing research, and I found a newspaper article about her, and I was like, this is her. I like her. I became a teen mentor with the Muse Writer Center and started trying to help the children. I do enjoy mentoring, even though it is. Sometimes you just don't know how to do it. You know, like, what is needed? Are you going to say something that's going to be helpful, or is it going to dig someone in a hole more? Writing is so hard, and approaching it as a 16-year-old, that's what the age my mentee was, and thinking about myself at 16 and my goals and all the things I didn't know and all the things I didn't know that I didn't know, you know, what would have been helpful then. So I hope I did a good job. And I also got back into the climbing gym in June. I think I had rehabbed my wrists enough. The gym's opened back up and I got to start doing what I loved again. In July, we made the decision to push back the release date for Requiem of Silence because I wanted to have another pass at it. I wanted to have another chance to improve it and to get it to a place where I really liked it instead of kind of liked it or kind of didn't like it. And that's always hard because I know that the date had been announced and people were excited, but it's, you know, late once, wrong forever. I cut my hair again because I had been growing it out and it was getting kind of long. And then I realized I don't want it to be long right now, not in the middle of a pandemic. And I think I gained energy from it. It's funny how those kinds of things can affect you, like, especially when you're home all the time. Like, personal grooming for a lot of people went out of the window during pandemic times. A lot of people are like, when was the last time I took a shower? If you don't leave the house, is there a real reason to bathe that frequently? If you're not bothering yourself or the people that you live with, maybe not. Sidebar, out of my window, I see my backyard, and there's a space between the fences between our property and then the people with the chickens who have like 3 acres. And there's a dead deer back there. And so there are carrion. There are these huge hawks, and they're not buzzards, but they're like some other kind of vulture-ish type gigantic bird. And they're congregating, and they've been eating this deer for days. And they've been sitting on the fence posts. And so then they have these huge wingspans, and they'll just like be around. And so if I'm constantly distracted by these gigantic birds that are like 50 feet. No, that's not right. Maybe 50 yards. That sounds better away from where I am. Back into it. In August, Cry of Metal and Bone released, which is the third book of the Earthsinger Chronicles. I signed a bunch of books for Mysterious Galaxy and for Charm City Books, these two bookstores on opposite ends of the country, which were selling signed copies, did a ton of online events to promote the book. Book promotion in pandemic times, you know, everyone's kind of relearning how, when we can't go places, can't go to conferences, can't go to physical events, and trying to see how we can get the word out about our books. It's the same challenge that I think indie authors have always had, because there's far fewer opportunities for indie authors to be in front of people in real life. But doing so many Zooms, got Zoomed out. In September, I turned in Requiem of Silence again, the final version, the version that I was actually happy with after struggling with it for a year. But I do think that it's the best thing I've ever written. And I know that, you know, far fewer people will ever read book four than, you know, if you're lucky, you get 50% of the people who pick up book one will read book four in a series. If you're really lucky, I think the normal percentage is probably less than that. And it is, I mean, that's just the way it goes. But I feel like the series is a thing together. You know, and I know that this book is the best thing I've written so far. So very proud of it and very happy that I got to that point with it. I also finished writing Echoes of Ash and Tears, which was the novella that was due to Audible. And it was also for the Andromeda Sky anthology. I was big into the heist research. So after turning in one book and still finagling and, finishing the novella, I had determined that, you know, this book was going to be my next book. And after flaming out on the other things that I had tried to write in the interim, but I had a lot of energy behind it and was doing a lot of historical research. I started selling books directly on my website in September, and our oldest dog, Sable, passed away. In October was my wedding anniversary. I went to a float tank for the first time. I was doing way more historical research, and I played my first game of D&D. November was the Writer's Digest Conference, copy edits for Requiem of Silence, so getting to see it again after a break of a couple of months, getting to see it through fresh eyes. We released Under a Winter Sky. I got my Traveler free write. I did NaNoWriMo for the new project, the new heist novel, and we had a weird pandemic Thanksgiving. It wasn't that weird, it was just small, and weird, because it was so small. And in December, revising, and a weird Christmas. It didn't feel like Christmas to me, because, you know, Christmas is so much about family and seeing people. We don't usually travel because most of my family is here, but my brother in California generally travels, and he wasn't here this year. My cousin from Minnesota usually comes through, and she wasn't here this year. And so it was just different, you know? You know, really hoping that next year will be normal again. I did not put up my tree, partially because I was feeling a little ambivalent about Christmas, also because of the new dog. I wasn't sure that Shelby could handle a Christmas tree, and I'm going to wait till she's older. And I realized that I didn't put up my tree last year either. So Stokely, who we got last December, he's our kitten. Well, I guess he's not a kitten anymore, but I'm going to call him a kitten for a long time. He has never had a Christmas tree either, and he definitely could not handle a Christmas tree. I'm not sure he'll ever be able to handle it, so maybe next year we'll see what happens. I had to stop getting live trees because of Sterling, the oldest cat, and he just felt that the tree was a bathtub. He just felt that the tree was a bathroom. Went through like four tree skirts and just decided tree skirts are not going to be a thing that I can have. So I bought a pretty, you know, middle of the road fake tree, which sort of goes against the sensibilities that I've had growing up. We're real tree people, but with these animals, I can't. So yeah, hoping for next year and looking to the future. My planner came in, so I'm very excited that I can start the ground running on January 1st with my brand new planner. It came a couple of days ago, so I was right to order it when I did and not wait for the new features from Agendio. I haven't really done any Q1 planning because for writing, Q1 is all going to be about finishing the revision of this book. And so I don't have any self-published stuff going on. I'm not really promoting my self-published stuff that much. I might go in and try to do something, but the self-pub things I have, so I've got the novellas for Earthsinger Chronicles, which just kind of get bundled up into Earthsinger. I have the Angelborn books, so just two books in the series, and two books is always difficult to promote. I've got Cupid Guild, which is four, but they're very short, and they're 99 cents. So, and the first one is free, like perma-free at this point. So I'm not going to spend a lot of money to promote what ends up being three 99-cent books that I think I'll make like $1.05, actually, 35 cents times three. I know, Sherman, there's dogs barking outside, and he wants to bark at them too. So yeah, I don't have a lot of self-pub promo stuff planned for Q1 until I actually write some full-length books for self-published that is in a series that can be promoted using the techniques and strategies that people use. And I'm not unhappy about that. I don't enjoy promoting things. I don't enjoy that aspect of self-publishing. But I just, at this point, only one book is scheduled to come out next year, which is Requiem of Silence in August. And I'll be working on this book, which is the 1920s fantasy heist for traditional publishing to sell to either my current publisher or to go on submission if they don't want it. And I think I would like to do something else, but I don't have anything I don't have anything in mind right now. Nothing's come up, another anthology or a short story or a novella or even something full length, maybe after I finished this draft of this book. But I'm not doing like a year plan for 2021. I really do better when I look like in short increments. So even a quarter seems like a long time. You know, I have done yearly plans before, but that's when I knew I had lots of deadlines and I had lots of things to hit. And I think learning from that, I think it's good. You know, if I was in another contract with a long series and I had to manage these multiple things, then that's the perfect strategy. But this year, I think it's good to take sort of a break because a break from that sort of intensity that I've been under for the past couple of years, getting this four book series out on my deadlines. And so I'm not upset at all. I'm not concerned. I think that it'll be what it'll be. Like there is a book coming out this year and I'm going to write something, whether it's traditional or self-pub, that will come out at some point in the future too. I'm not stressing about it. I'm really just trying to put all of my energy into this book and make it the best that it can be. And it's coming along. I've got like three chapters revised so far, but they're going slowly because even though I've done a lot of research, during the revision is when the details come in. So I'm not only revising for story, I'm revising for, okay, what are the shoes called? What were they wearing? What are the cars called? You know, like those details. A lot of people will do multiple passes. And in some level, I am doing that. Like, I have some placeholders for the actual model of the car that someone has just bought and the types of shoes and the description of the clothes. But we were talking about this with our Pitch Wars mentee about doing multiple passes. And some people are very layered. They do just one pass for story, one pass for character, one pass for dialogue. And that's not really how I do things. I like to do everything in one pass, and then I'll do a polished pass. So my revision pass is kind of looking at everything. And I just find that it's better for me to try to hold it all in my head. And those layers come in over the course of a couple of days. So if I'm revising, like I'll take the fast draft for a scene, and then I'll do a polish, which is turning that fast draft that I just vomited out in 20 minutes and making it something real and cohesive and, you know, putting up the drywall and then painting it. And the next day I'll come back and look at it again, and then I'll hang the curtains and the pictures. And then I might do it again and polish the windows and dust things, and, you know, like that way. So I'm hitting it multiple times, but I don't have a specific pass just for one thing where I'm looking at one thing. I don't think that works for me. I like to look at it holistically and think about it in terms of everything that's come before and everything I want to come after it. And it does take a long time, you know, like a 3,000 word scene. I think it took me 3 days. And that's working on it anywhere between 2 and 4 hours a day, which is actually a lot slower than I've done this before. But like I said, part of that time is I'm looking up things. I'm looking up slang or clothes, cars, things. Like I said, I'm looking at my maps. I'm trying to see where things are. You know, I've done a lot of this pre-work, but now it's just the fine-tuning and the detail. And this pass is the pass that I'm going to show other people. So it just needs to be really complete. So that is the writing update. Plotter, the software Plotter that I talked about last week, is working out. I do have to copy and paste each thing, each scene into Scrivener, which is a little bit of a pain. So what happens is I outlined everything in Plotter. I exported it. You can export to Scrivener, but it puts the detail in the notes section and not in the note card section, which is actually where it should be in my mind. I think we should get to choose, so maybe that's something they'll add. So I exported it to Word, which just has a Word document with everything in it. And then each scene, I will copy and paste into each scene or note card in Scrivener so that I can have it in there. And then I'll write the scene in Scrivener. So it's not terrible, but, you know, having to copy and paste everything isn't the best thing either. Like, I would love it if I could export it directly into Scrivener and it would be in the note card. And then I would just write the scene. And then do I need that information in the note card in Scrivener if I have it in Plotter? That's the other question. Like, is it something where I can just create scenes with titles and just write and then always go back to Plotter if I'm making notes? So if when I'm updating ideas about scenes, like as I write, I'm like, oh, well, this scene will need this and maybe I'll change that. I am going back to do that in Plotter. So I only copied and pasted like the first 10 scenes into Scrivener in the first place. And maybe that's not a thing that I need to do. So I can just remove that as a part of the process and simplify things. So still working on the workflow as I, you know, try this new software and this new system. But, yeah, writing's going well. And so in honor of my 100th episode, I am going to do a podcast giveaway. So for the giveaway, I'm giving away a signed paperback copy of the book of your choice. So any of my books that are available as a paperback right now, which would include any of the Earthsinger Chronicles novels, including an arc of Requiem of Silence. Now, I don't have the arcs yet, and I don't know when I'm going to get them, but if you win the giveaway and you choose the arc, you will get it when I get it. or Under a Winter Sky is available, The Cupid Guild Complete Series, or Angelborn. I don't sell paperback copies of Angelborn, but I do have some, and they're very limited edition. They're very exclusive. So any of those, I will put them on the form. So choose your preferred prize, and I will randomly select a winner. This giveaway will be open throughout the month of January 2021, and I will announce the winner on the February 1st show. So to enter, go to lpnlp.com/podcast giveaway, all one word. The link will be in the show notes, and enter. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited, all of those things. And thank you so much for being here. If you've been here since the beginning, that's amazing. If this is your first episode, that's amazing. Welcome. If you're somewhere in between, you're still amazing and I still appreciate you. And as we put 2020 in our rearview mirror, we can look to the future and hopefully we have learned to be grateful for what we have as we've had things taken away from us, whether that is a loved one, a friend, a family member, a job, a home, an income. There are so many things that have happened this year that force us to look at things more carefully and really dig into to gratitude and to hopefully to kindness and empathy and caring for other people. It's been rough, you know, and there's no guarantee that it will get better soon. But I do believe in something I heard T.D. Jakes talk about in the very limited instances that I listened to T.D. Jakes. There's value in the valley. It was a very moving sermon, I guess. But yeah, the way my grandmother put it is that sometimes you have to put your boots on and walk through the shit. And that has been 2020. And so to all of you with your boots on, walking through it, I wish you the best and a very happy new year and the hope and prayer that we will get out of the valley in 2021, having learned something and having grown and having had the experience of the valley, being able to use that experience in a positive way in the future. That is my hope for myself and my hope for all of you. So that is it for me for this year. I will talk to you next year. For episode show notes and to sign up for the Footnotes newsletter and get show notes in your inbox, go to myimaginaryfriendsshow.com. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and watch the video episodes on YouTube. I would really appreciate a rating or review to help support the show. And My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more fantastic podcasts, go to frolic.media/podcasts.